It's Friday night, and your work week is over. Kick back and get the latest on the Indianapolis Colts.
Jonathan Taylor, touchdown! The 10, the 5, a pick 6 for the Colts!
Get up to speed on the Colts and the NFL, starting now.
And he walks into the end zone! Touchdown, I-N-D-Y!
This is the Colts Happy Hour on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to Kilroy's Downtown, a friend from Bud Light. Little Billy Walpole cashed in over there. My man Bill Bowman cashed in. We're talking about giving away tickets. Big game coming up on Sunday within the AFC South. All the owner, Jim Irsay, has done is talk about this in the offseason. This is a premium coming up on Sunday. We want you to be a part of it, too. If you're a Kilroy's right now, all you have to do is sign up. And just maybe we set you up with a pair of tickets to go coming up on Sunday. You know me, too. If you come up and ask me nicely, who knows what else you might get with our friends from Zinc and Bud Light on a Bud Light Blue Friday. We are, again, downtown at Kilroy's. Quick reminder, too. I want everybody to show up because on Monday, we're going to be over in Plainfield at Buffalo Wild Wings for a Bud Light Blue Monday with Buffalo Wild Wings. That is coming up on Monday over in Plainfield off of Main Street. Would love to see everybody over there. And hopefully we're talking about a Colts win and bigger and better things coming up on Monday. Again, Buffalo Wild Wings with Bud Light, that's on Monday over in Plainfield. So I'd love to see you guys all there. Lot to get to in what is a massive game for the Colts, a massive game for the Titans coming up on Sunday here at Lucas Oil Stadium. Last week, of course, get that come-from-behind win, scoring on the final drive, knocking off Kansas City. Getting back on track, maybe. We'll find out on Sunday. But a lot of conversation going on. Again, earlier today, Julian Blackman has been ruled out, the Colts safety. He will not play on Sunday, but there is a chance, and a good chance, it seems, that Shaquille Leonard makes his 2022 season debut coming up on Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll follow that story as the weekend moves along. Brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. More ways to win with FanDuel Sportsbook. And as we always do, the voice of the Colts, Matt Taylor, he starts out our Colts Happy Hour with his conversation with the head coach, Frank Reich. Matt.
All right, thank you, JMV. It's now time for the head coach's report with head coach Frank Reich as the Colts get ready for week 4 against the Tennessee Titans at Lucas Oil Stadium. And, coach, coming off of a very impressive win last Sunday against the Chiefs, your team got it done in the fourth quarter in crunch time when the game was on the line. And so far this year, the Colts have been a very good fourth quarter team. Matt Ryan's been known for the clutch gene, getting it done, you know, in the final 2 minutes of games. Are you a big believer that guys, that teams, can develop that clutch gene, that certain teams just have it?
There's certainly good indications that we do, and that does come from the players, and mm-hmm. certainly comes from a guy like Matt Ryan who's done it for 15 years. So, you know, we knew when we signed him that that's one of the things we were getting. And I think that was a big piece. It's not that we haven't had that, but I just think mm-hmm. Matt brings a new level of that. You got to win close games in the fourth quarter. You got to be able to turn it on, and he certainly is a big factor there.
You know, multiple guys stepped up on defense last week, especially in the secondary. Big contributions from Rodney McLeod, Rodney Thomas, Isaiah Rogers. What has their mental preparations been like this season to step up in that moment, to play big, you know, at a moment's notice?
It's been great. That whole defensive unit, right? I mean, Gus Bradley's done a great job with them. It's a very close-knit bunch. You know, they're really challenging each other to be prepared. Everybody knows that, hey, we got to get ready to play in this business, whether you're, you know, you could be on the bench 1 week and, mm-hmm. and the starter next week. So I give guys credit for preparing the way they have. Yeah. Been.
Also, those young pass catchers stepped up. Jelani Woods, the 2 touchdowns. Alec Pierce, 3 catches, 61 yards, including that big 30-yard catch to get you out of the shadow of your own goalpost there. How would you describe Matt Ryan's confidence in those guys, even though they haven't played a lot of NFL football yet?
It was a big step. I mean, you know, when you got 2 young draft picks that make clutch plays in the game,
yeah,
that's a big step. I mean, they've worked hard to practice, and I think Matt has continued to develop confidence in them. But there's nothing like you know, those big-time completions in the game.
No doubt about that. Tennessee comes to town, Coach, and it's a big division game. Everybody knows that. They've won the AFC South 2 years in a row. They've won three in a row in the series. What is the motivation for this team going into the game, knowing it's a big game in terms of the math, but also just, you know, mentally what Tennessee sort of represents?
Yeah, I mean, they're the bully. You know, they're the defending champs. They play physical. They're a good football team. They're well-coached. You know, our goal is to win championships, division, conference, and world. You know, so division is the first part of that. You know, this is only one game, but everybody understands division games kind of count too. And you're playing at home, and you got to. Marv Levy, my old coach in Buffalo, used to say, you got to win the games that you're supposed to win. And when you're playing at home, when you're playing a home division game, you're supposed to win those games. Yeah. So, you know, we got to play good football because they're a good team.
And you hear all the time about Tennessee's physicality, the brand of football that they play. And every game in the NFL is incredibly physical. But what is it about Tennessee that makes playing them even more of a physical game, if you will?
Just they've been good up front. They run the ball and stop the run. When you think about teams that are the most physical, it starts up front. Mm-hmm. They run the ball and they stop the run. And so that's what this team has done.
Yeah, Derrick Henry is back. I mean, just piggybacking off there. I mean, missed half of last season with that foot. The two-time NFL rushing champ, 2020, the last year he was healthy, over 2,000 rushing yards. Do you still see the same back? Do you still see the same guy that can just completely take over a game?
Yeah, he's explosive. You know, he's got speed and power. That's what makes him so dangerous. He's got great vision. This is exciting. I mean, you know, if you're a fan and if you like running the ball at all, and you get to see JT and Derrick Henry in the same game. Now, come on, that's pretty good. I think you're getting your money's worth there.
Yeah, triple crown winners, right? Each of the last 2 years with Henry in 20 and with Jonathan Taylor with the Colts in 2021, and that rushing defense for the Colts has been so good. Does it come down to just the brand or the identity of who Tennessee wants to be? They want to run the ball. They want to take over the game that way. Does that make first and second down so important to kind of take away their strength of who they are identity wise on third down?
No doubt. They've been very effective on first and second down.
Right.
And, you know, with their play action game. So, you know, if you can shut down that run game, it makes that play action game not quite as scary. And they've been very, when you look at their stats, Matt, in play action over the years, Ryan Tannehill has been really good. And so that's one of the big reasons why we got to shut that run game down.
And we talked about this earlier in the week. It's a division game, and you know them. They know you. You know, yourself and Mike Vrabel, you guys have squared off, you know, every year, twice a year since 2018. And you guys are both guys that play the numbers. You know, you go for it on fourth down when it makes sense. Short yardage, red zone. I mean, is that where this game truly kind of boils down to when there's so much familiarity on both sidelines?
No doubt. And like you said, that's one of the things I respect about the Titans. And one of the things that we take pride in with our team is being good situationally. Titans have been very good and situational, you know, managing the game, third down, red zone, you know, the fourth down situations, all those things, 2-point plays, you know, that kind of stuff. So you get a division game like this, and just so often, Matt, it just comes down to one of those plays to win the game. So we're going to really have to be on point.
When you look at their defense, they've given up points, they've given up yards, but they got a lot of good players on that side of the ball. Simmons and Denico Autry, Zach Cunningham, who came over from Houston. What are some things on tape that tells you it's a better defense than, you know, statistically speaking, through three games?
Yeah, I can just remember, well, even in our own situation, when I get asked questions about the statistics, I say, guys, it's a 17-game season.
Right, right.
It's a very small sample size. Let's add it all up when we get to the end of the year. And let's look at the whole body of work. And when you look at the Titans, you know, they were a top-five defense last year. Am I supposed to believe that, you know, that all of a sudden they're a bottom-five defense? No, I know that's not true.
Right.
You know, they've gotten off to a slow start like we have. And that's why this game means so much to both teams.
All right, we talked about situational football, first and second down, Coach. What are your other keys to this game in order to win it?
As you said, Matt, in the situational game, they've been really good in red zone.
Yeah.
And we've been just kind of harping on this thing a little bit here last week and this week, because like with the Chiefs last week and now with this team this week, on defense, we need a couple red zone stops. You know, this team has been dangerous in the red zone. So we need those red zone stops. And then on offense, we got to score touchdowns when we're in the red zone, right? It's all about scoring points, and we got to have those four-point plays that turn something that is a possible field goal, turn that into a touchdown. And then, of course, you know, the turnover battle is always going to be key when you play a divisional game especially. Yep. And then lastly, you have to mention what we said earlier. It's about running and stopping your run. Who's going to control the line of scrimmage? Yep. This is going to be a physical game. That's what everybody's talking about. Who's going to win that battle? And whoever wins that battle will likely end up winning the game.
Big division game, Colts and Titans, and that's the head coach's report with head coach Frank Reich. Coach, as always, appreciate the insight and good luck in week four.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt Taylor and Frank Reich right there on Colts Happy Hour. CenterPoint Energy is a proud sponsor of the 2022 Coach of the Week program. This week's Coach of the Week, Shane Fry. West Lafayette High School, after the Class 3A number one Red Devils knocked off Benton Central 55-0 for Coach Fry's 100th career win. He is the third West Lafayette head coach to reach the 100 victory mark. To learn more about the program, please visit colts.com/highschoolfootball. Do that today. Let's go inside football. Speaking of which, Rick Venturi from the radio network, the former NFL coach, he's scheduled to join coming up on the other side. We're live at Kilroy's downtown. Got more Titans Colts tickets to give away, courtesy of our good friends from Zinc and Bud Light on a Bud Light Blue Friday at Kilroy's downtown. 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
A full hour dedicated. Colts football. This is the Colts Happy Hour on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Welcome back. Thank you, voice Sean Matthews, live at Kilroy's downtown, Bud Light Blue Friday. And more Titans Colts tickets to give away. Remember, I get you started on the ride to kickoff with me. That's coming up at 9 a.m. at the Bullseye Event Center with BullseyeEventGroup.com. Then me, the Gore Man, Bill Brooks, Joe Rice, got you for the Colts pregame huddle. 10 until noon with our friends from Bud Light in Touchdown Town. That's coming up on Sunday. The Colts Audio Network includes podcasts, radio shows, player interviews. It's available on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere else you download podcasts. You can also listen on SiriusXM on the mobile app by searching Colts. Listen to the exclusive Colts radio and audio content on demand. Do that on your schedule. For more information, check it out at Colts.com. Top of the hour, CarX High School Football Game of the Week. How about this, too? Brendan King and Kevin Bowen on the call for you there in Zionsville for Brownsburg and Zionsville, a part of week number 7 of the high school football schedule. Again, Brendan King, Kevin Bowen have the call for you. Brownsburg and Zionsville, top of the hour, brought to you by CarX. That's your high school football game of the week. How about a blueprint for the game coming up on Sunday? Week 4 of the NFL within the AFC South, and this is large for both teams, especially the Colts that match up with the Titans coming up on Sunday. Matt Taylor returns, and he's joined now by the former coach in the NFL and the radio analyst Rick Venturi with his blueprint for success and more coming up on Sunday. Fellas,
thank you very much, JMV. It's time again for Inside Football here on Colts Happy Hour as we get Rick Venturi's blueprints to beat the Titans, and we start first with the muss on their offense. Rick, Todd Downing is the offensive coordinator now at Nashville, who you know well. Everything flows through Derrick Henry, who is back after missing most of last year with that foot injury. He's a former 2,000-yard rusher. He ranks second in the NFL in rushing since 2016. He led the NFL in rushing in 19 and 20, and he's posted 5 career 100-yard rushing games against the Colts, and they're going to pound you until you stop them, and they're also going to try and capitalize on play action with Ryan Tannehill, who ranks 7th in the NFL in passer rating since joining the Titans in 2019, and he is deceptively athletic. He can run the boot. He can get first downs with his legs. A.J. Brown has gone in the passing game. They're trying to supplement that with Robert Woods, first-round pick Treylon Burks out of Arkansas, Nick Westbrook-Akina out of Indiana, up and down in most categories, but elite in the red zone. 6 of 7 scoring touchdowns in the red zone this year. That's number one in the league so far, and they've been the best team in the NFL in red zone efficiency since 2019 under Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. So that's the big picture on the offense. Rick, what are your musts for the Colts this week against the Titans offense, who the Colts know all too well here?
Yeah, and the one thing I just want to have one prelim before I actually hit the must is we got to know, and you know this and I know this because we faced him, but our young players have to know this, is Vrabel is a gambler. Know that. And he will dial up special plays. So you're going to get that reverse. You're going to get something, and you're going to get it early in the game. And he is a go-for-it on fourth down guy and go-for-it on some 2 points that you don't expect. So you've got to always have that two-point defense in your bag, and short yardage is going to be critical because both coaches go for it on fourth down. So winning red zone and winning fourth down might be the game today. But let's get into the must for our defense. First of all, we have to control Henry. And number one, it starts with the edge because, you know, they'll run the toss. He has that deceptive speed, and he can hit the homer. He loves to bounce it and go. He's got great vision. You know, they line him up deeper than any tailback. They look like the old Southern Cal I formations of the 70s. He is so deep back there, and they like it because they can give him the ball deep and let him find the hole on all those zone plays. So we have to attack the line of scrimmage. We have to set the edge there, let our linebackers attack him on the run. You never want to let him get his shoulders downhill towards the goal line. You want to keep him lateral, string him. If those shoulders are pointed to the sidelines all day, we will crowd him and we will get him. Punish him, make him really work like we did last year. We actually knocked him out of the game. And I do like some double sync against him, same thing that people are using against us. And I also like edge pressure on first and second down, bringing that fifth guy, because what that does is it sets the edge and it hits all the running lanes. Plus, it gives you edge pressure on the bootleg and on the play action passes. Those are hard pickups. You know, we saw that last week, you know, against the Chiefs, when you bring that nickel off the edge, or you bring a dime off the other side or a safety, particularly on first down, you have good run and play action defense. So, you know, that's what I'd like to see. He's going to get some yards, but what you don't want to let him have, as you said earlier, don't let him get the big day. If you keep him out of the big day, you're going to be in good shape. I think number two must is we must take away the play action over routes, okay? Most of his play action comes, again, on first down or second and five. And, again, a lot of flow passing, half rolls. And what he wants to do is he wants to bring people across the field. And what he really likes is he really likes his tight end, Hooper. Or now that Woods is healthy again, he likes to bring Woods up in that second level. In other words, kind of get your linebackers playing Henry, boom, hit, and get back in there. So I think you have to play run defenses that are coverage-friendly to play action, and there is such a thing. You got to make sure, again, he doesn't get on the edge and boot. I was really impressed. Quiddy Pay actually played the first boot of the game and actually discouraged it, and that's what you have to do sometimes against Mahomes. First time they come out there, Quiddy ran the line, got an incomplete pass out of it, just perfect, and we've struggled so hard on that. And Tannehill's good, as you mentioned. But there are some things that you can do. I like one coverage I like is a six buzz where the weak safety plays in the hole. He plays like a hook zone, but it's deeper than everybody else. So when they play action, the weak safety comes down to his hook, but he's coming down later and higher, and he's in position to take all that crossing stuff. Got me? On second down, when it's a little bit more pass, then I like four coverage quarters, because now you have four guys across the board. You have the safety in corner for the deep one, and you have the other safety cutting down on the crossing pattern. And then, of course, I like the five-man stuff. As I said, five-man with, you know, set that edge right now, right in Tannehill's face. That makes it very hard to throw the play-action pass versus flow. And then when you are playing the what we call the cover, his Hawk 3, when you are playing his Hawk 3, you have to have what I call a Zorro call. Zorro call means this. If the X comes through the post, the wide receiver on the weak side comes through the post, okay, basically the safety has told that corner. He tells which corner that he's going to take the shorter one. So if X takes the post, the corner stays with him, and now the over route, when they run the over route, the safety comes down and takes the over, and the corner from that side replaces him in the post. And this is something that we've learned over the years in cover three, because what happens is you're not going to play it underneath, because underneath they're going to take you with a run fake. So you've got to have a way to take the X post Z over with your four guys and with your safety, and he drops down and takes the over, and the other corner replaces him. It takes some work, but if you're a cover three team, you got to do that. But most importantly, you got to shut down that play pass, and you got to shut down that pass, especially numbers to numbers. When you get in trouble on third down or anything else, make sure that you got the coverage on Woods. They're going to take some shots. You know, they try to isolate Burks on the weak side like they used to with A.J. Brown, and he'll take some shots, particularly on 3-by-1 back there weak. I think number three must, and this is the whole team, we just have to get the advantage on first down. We got to shut down a run in those play pass overs, and then if it's second and long, that's when you want to match really patterns. That's where cover four comes in, and Gus used it so well last week, because he's just going to try to get back. All he's going to do on second and long is try to release the ball quick, spread you out, get it out there quick, and get back into a third and four. So if you can choke them off, again, I don't think they can protect us. I really don't. I think that is their Waterloo. Anytime you set disadvantage and you come after them, that's where they struggle. I don't think Daly can handle Ngakoue. I don't think they can handle us inside as well. And we just have to win those matchups one-on-one, and it starts by sticky coverage as well. Okay, and then number four, again, and I talked about this and continue to talk about, it's not establishing the run. It's not establishing the pass. It's really establishing the lead. And if we do that, then we will create turnovers. I can give you all the X's and O's, but it really comes down, as you always say, to execution and winning one-on-one. I think you can crowd them. I think the receivers are good, but they're not speed guys. Burks not, Woods not. I think, again, you can crowd them and choke them. And when you do that, then you control the game. Then you dominate it and you take it away from them. Remember, they are -3 in the turnover ratio, which is big, and that's because they've had to play from behind. Again, when you get up on this team, if you get up 10, then you got them in your wheelhouse.
No question about that. That is the key for sure. That's Rick Venturi, and this is Inside Football. Breaking down the Colts and the Titans in the blueprints, I'm Matt Taylor. Let's go over to the Titans' defense, and this is a unit that's been their Achilles heel so far. Now, I know they've got some good players on that side of the ball, but through three games, Rick, they've given up a boatload of points. I know they've played the Buffalo Bills, and that kind of sets it as an outlier, but so far allowing 28 per game, and they've been gashed on the run, allowing 145 yards per game. That does include the 238 against the Giants in game number one. But despite those poor numbers, they've been pretty good on third down on defense, 22%, which is number two in the NFL so far. And they held the Raiders just 1-for-12 on the money down last week. Last year, the Titans were the only team in the NFL to feature three players with at least 8 sacks: Harold Landry, Danico Autry, and Jeffrey Simmons. Landry was lost for the season in training camp, and that defense is still trying to make up for that loss, but they do have some guys that can still rush the passer. The defensive big picture is probably, again, distorted by that Bills game, which they lost by 34 points. David Long, Zach Cunningham, pretty solid linebackers. The back end consists of rookie Roger McCreary, Amani Hooker, and veteran safety Kevin Byard, who's played 100 career games. He leads the NFL in interceptions among safeties since 2017. That's kind of my takeaway when you look at them. I think they're better than the numbers would indicate so far right now. Rick, what are your musts for the Colts to take advantage of the Titans on defense?
Yeah, you hit it, Matt. And basically, the surprising thing, and I think it certainly plays to our advantage, the two stats that stick out to you negatively are points given up. Regardless of Buffalo, it's 29th, and then the per rush, 32nd. They're 32nd in the league on rushing yardage per rush, which is really the important statistic, because that's telling you what you're really doing. Now, when they're in advantage, like you said, on third and long, number three in the league because they can rush the passer, and they're 12th in the league with sacks, even without Landry. And again, just like their offense, they tend to really tighten up in the red zone. I think what happens is when their corners don't have a lot of space to cover, they get tighter, they get better. Sometimes when you have a average secondary, you end up playing better in the red zone than you do out on the field because there's no space. You know, I've been that guy. I've actually sold it at times. But in the end, I mean, I think, you know, first of all, I think we have to run it at them. We've got to make sure that we can hit them. I'd like to run opposite Simmons. I really respect him. You know, they'll be in the over. They'll be in under. They'll be in some double sync. And the way people are playing double sync, we could get a lot of it. But we've got to have a big day from Taylor and Hines. Personally, I think they play better in heavy and compact formations. I think the more you bring Tennessee together, the better they play. I prefer open formations against them, nickel formations. I like, you know, Hines as the slot. You know, I like all that stuff. And then I want to pound with Taylor opposite Simmons. If it's under, you want to pound tight. If it's over, you want to pound weak. And you can check with me on that stuff and just get after him. And then I like bringing Hines back in there and running those speed plays on the edge because their defensive ends, whether it's Dupree, Autry, or Weaver, who, you know, they're all interchangeable, and sometimes Autry goes inside. But they're all bigger power rushers, really. They're not really space players. And so I think you can get out there on screens. You can get out there on speed plays. I think your screens have to be an extension of your running game, toss, crack. Now, when you run those toss, crack, you got to get Hooker and Byard blocked. And, you know, you got to get those two guys. Make those corners show up and tackle. And then I like a little bit of misdirection, a little bit of counter tray, because I do think their linebackers, I don't know, Cunningham had left the game with an injury. Cole came in for him. Long, I really like Long. Is, you know, I've told you that before. He is really active. He really hurt us a year ago with blitzing and stuff like that. But they'll go fast, so you want a little misdirection. But we've got to have a big game running this way. I don't think there's any excuse not to, except that we have to have an answer for that double sync, because that's the only way they're going to stop us is by adding the numbers and covering us up and smothering us up front. Okay, I do think that play action will hurt them because it's just like anything else. You know, our signature is the running game, even though it doesn't look great right now on paper, but everybody knows in this league how good 28 is and the potential of our offensive line run blocking. So a lot of stuff against the grain. They play a lot of cover four, and cover four in some ways is four across, but it really exposes your corners, and you can run combination routes on the outside that really confuse the safety and the corners that are in what we call quarters coverage. And so, you know, I like some half rolls, some play action, and then work on that outside, work on those corners, you know, I mean, work on McCrary, work on Fulton. You know, Mitchell just struggled. If you see 38 in a game, or you see Farley number three, it's just like put a red light on their helmet and just go after them. Just go after them until they can't stop it. And then there's some good stuff. You know, I always talk about four beaters, the double post, the scissors. You know, those type of things. I think you can work inside on the options. And then when you come out, you double moves on those corners. Those corners will respond and get those double moves. The one thing I will say is quarterback, control those safeties with your eyes. Don't, and I think Matt's good at this, but Hooker and Byard are really excellent players. And we've seen a lot of Byard over the years, and Hooker is really good as well. So, you know, when you're going to go somewhere, don't look it in. Don't look it in because those guys will get around you. All right, number three must, and this is critical. We started the discussion with this. We've got to protect Ryan. Our blitz pickup has to be fixed. The communication has to be great, whether it's reducing the amount of protection, whether it's more walkthroughs, whether it's getting Matt up to speed with Kelly. For some reason, there's confusion there. That has to stop. We have to make sure that we can handle it. When they get ahead in the count, you know, then Autry comes inside with Simmons, you know, and then you have Weaver on one side, and you have a Demi Y on one side, you know, if Dupree is healthy this week. So they have a very, very formidable rush package. But I think in the end, we have to make sure that we can help Danny Pinder on Simmons. Okay, Simmons, all those guys are good players. They all have good numbers. If you go through their sack numbers, they're all really good, from Autry to Dupree, and even Weaver, the rookie, has three already. But the guy that can ruin your game, just like we talked about Chris Jones last week, is Simmons. Simmons is Ambien, and Danny got exposed a little bit. That's going to happen, but we have to make sure we can't just allow him one-on-one all day. But more importantly is blitz pickup has to be there, because I think if it, you know, runs, screens will help it, but we got to keep the defense off balance. And then fourth, you know, again, and I said this on offense, I'll say it on defense, on first down, we have to control first and second down. What we don't want to have happen is come up third and eight. When we come third and eight, all those warts at some point are going to be tested. Now, maybe we fix them, maybe we don't. I think, you know, obviously we establish some receiver threats, which helps that part of it, but we have to protect Matt Ryan. So, again, at times even run the nickel to keep him off balance, you know, stay ahead in the change. I always say this, the most talked about down in football is third down. Everybody talks about your third down percentage, but really the most significant down is first down, because it's the domino down. Everything comes after that, you know. We got to come after them early, get them on their heels, and eliminate the rush. That's what we got to do, and play aggressive. You know, and as I said before, I'll just kind of repeat it. One little bonus must here is both coaches, both Frank and Vrabel, they're going to gamble on fourth and short. Right. Okay, so you have to be ready with a great short yardage defense and red zone defensive play, to me, by the Colts will determine the game. Short yardage defense, short yardage offense, and red zone play, to me, will determine this game.
It's Rick Venturi, Matt Taylor right there. The blueprint to the game, week four, has the Titans in. That's the Colts and the Titans coming up on Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium. I got more tickets to give away for that game, courtesy of Bud Light, coming up in just a minute. We're here at Kilroy's downtown. Are you leaving us? We've got two more pair of tickets to give away. Oh, you got to be at work? You sit tight. I'm going to draw another name coming up in just a second. Okay. Meantime, Caesar Sportsbook is a proud betting partner of the Colts. Hey, we communicate with the folks here at Kilroy's because we want to get our people to that game coming up on Sunday. The Gorman, Matt Taylor, and their visit with Yannick Ngakoue. He showed up this past Sunday, did he not, against Kansas City? Their visit with Yannick Ngakoue is coming up on the other side. This is Colts Happy Hour, 93.5, 107.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Colts Happy Hour. We're getting you in the know on the Colts heading into the weekend.
Hey, welcome back here. The Farm Credit Union question of the week is follows. Since 2018, by the way, I love this song. How long does this play, Kyle? I want to hear this. Little Al Green. I like to bump it back with Al Green, everybody. All right, Farm Credit Union question of the week as follows. Since 2018, the Colts defense has allowed a 100-yard rusher just six times, which is the second fewest over that time span. Who's the only team with fewer 100-yard rushers? Forum, Credit Union's fan forum section of Colts.com. Get on there, interact with other fans online, post a topic, have some fun, do what you want. Forum Credit Union, helping members live their financial dreams. I was really happy about this because I was big on Yannick Ngakoue and this defense of the offseason. And through the first 2 weeks, people were clowning me on that. But in week three against Kansas City, they stepped up against Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense. And off the edge, we saw him, Yannick Ngakoue, as he visits right now with the Gorman and Matt Taylor. Fellas.
Joined now by Yannick Ngakoue, I got to ask, from 1 week to the next, giving up this defense, giving up 24 points down to Jacksonville, then coming home, facing a Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid offense, limiting them to 17 points and really flipping the coin over for a different sort of afternoon from 1 week to the next. What was that switch from Jacksonville to KC?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as a group, you know, all three phases, special teams, offense, and defense, you know, we just looked ourselves in the mirror, and, you know, the performance that we put up versus Jacksonville wasn't our standard. And, you know, we just wanted to be able to, you know, display a better performance. And on defense, specific being a defender myself, you know, I feel like Coach Gus, he put up a great game plan for us, and everybody filled their position, you know, really, really well. And we were able to, you know, provide pressure on the quarterback as well as get a takeaway.
No excuses, but does it take, especially not for you, but for the people around you, to get familiar with a new scheme, the one that Gus Bradley runs? You've been in the system before, but I'm talking about the guys around you. It might take a couple of weeks. I know, you know, training camp and OTAs have started hard, but you got to get into these games in early part of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the players, we bring the call to life, you know, any defensive call that Coach Gus gives us. So, you know, at that point, you know, you just have to buy into the system, and it's a system that works. You know, he's had, you know, great players, great defenses like LOB and, you know, that 2017 Jacksonville team I was a part of. And, you know, just this a similar scheme. You know, it's just all about rushing and covering and 4 equals 1.
Yeah, Unique, piggybacking off what Jeffrey was asking, you've been in this defense, you know what it looks like when it's thriving, right? When it's absolutely hitting on all cylinders there. How close, based on the performance against Kansas City, how close would you say the Colts are to hitting where it needs to be?
You know, absolutely. That was a great, you know, showing from us as a defense last week. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we haven't even touched the ceiling yet. You know what I mean? And when I say touching the ceiling, it's coming out with the win, you know. And then also having more takeaways, having more hits on a quarterback, having more sacks on a quarterback, mm-hmm. forced fumbles, you know what I mean? And once we get those numbers up, we'll help our team win all in all as a defense.
That's Unique Ngakoue with us, Colts defensive end. Take me back to last Sunday, your first game as a Colt at Lucas Oil Stadium. What did you think?
It was a great atmosphere. You know, the fan base brought the energy, brought the noise, and also, it just felt great, you know, being in Lucas Oil in this time, having blue and white on versus having an opposite color jersey. So it was a great experience.
And your first sack in a Colts uniform. Take me through that play. How satisfying was that that first sack with the Colts?
Oh, absolutely. You know, rush and cover goes together. Like I said, the defensive backs had a tremendous coverage on that play, as well as a great pressure by DeForest, which allowed me to just be able to turn the corner properly to be able to get Mahomes down. So
I got to ask, Kenny, we've got a guy who's top 20, according to some, in the NFL. His name's Shaq Leonard, but you've never taken the field with him officially. Yeah. What does that – I mean, I know you guys are show up and play. I mean, put your pads on and go. But you do have that lurking in the background where he is a difference maker, a guy who's a turnover machine.
Absolutely. You know, I can't wait to see him back on the field. And, you know, hopefully – you know, I don't know the status of that, but hopefully that's this week. And, you know, me being a guy that watches tape, he was always somebody that stood out to me, you know, flying from sideline to sideline, making a lot of play. So, you know, just a blessing to be able to take the field with them really soon.
Does it help you as a veteran to be able to coach, for lack of a better term, some of the guys around you? I'm talking about young guys like Quiddy Pay. I'm even Taekwon in the same thing. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not thinking about doing it, your leadership brings a coaching aspect to it. Is that fair to say?
Well, you know, absolutely. It's all about being a servant leader and, you know, just giving the information and the knowledge that I've gained over the years playing with great players and just dishing that out to the younger guys. And it's just a tradition. They need to do the same thing when they become veterans.
Now, I don't know. I don't need names, but if you had to take a couple of these youngins aside and say, hey, here's how we do this to, you know, better ourselves each day.
I give them everything. I give them all the game, not just the X's and O's, mm-hmm. but also, like you said, how you take care of your body, how you spend your time wisely and, you know, hanging out with the right groups of people to be able to give a positive impact on your life.
You need, going back a few weeks, playing Jacksonville, I don't want to talk about the game itself, but, you know, being drafted there and playing well for a few seasons there in Jacksonville, what was it like for you going back to your original home, if you will, in the NFL?
Oh, it was
playing
great
on that field.
It was great, you know what I mean? Just being able to, you know, relish and remember on the moments that, you know, I made a lot of plays in that stadium. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also just realizing how far I've come and how much more, you know, the journey is in store for me, you know what I mean? Just being 27 years old still, but,
right,
you know, being in the league for a little while, it just allowed me to just be grateful and thankful of everything I've been through.
Unique Ngakoue is our guest. All right, let's look forward. Sunday, Tennessee. Ooh. right? They're always one of the more physical teams in the NFL. Every game in the National Football League is incredibly physical, all right? We just need to get that out of the way. But Tennessee prides itself on controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, whether they're on offense or defense. How much of this game is a mindset for you going in that we're going to have to stop the run and we got to tackle Derrick Henry? How much do you have to, like, sort of psych yourself up leading into Sunday?
You know, as a defense, I feel like that's one of the highlights of our season so far, is how well we're stopping the run. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we just have to continue to have that same approach when we touch the field on Sunday, and knowing that this is a running team. They like to do a lot of crunch plays, a lot of stretch plays, you know, and for people that don't know what that is, it's basically, you know, plays where they'll give Derrick Henry the ball and it's a mano-a-mano play, and whoever, you know, is able to push that person back or push that person forward is going to win that down. So, you know, we just have to bring our big boy pads.
Line is in trouble in Tennessee. I mean, they've got some injuries there. Ryan Tannehill in the back, a guy that you faced. What does he bring to this offense?
Yeah, I feel like Ryan Tannehill, he's a veteran. He's skilled. He's been in the league for a long time. He understands the offense well, you know, being a receiver, converted into a quarterback. So he knows a lot about reading coverages. So we just have to do what we do every week, and that's being able to strain, play physical football, and try to get the ball out.
Saw something interesting last week against KC, a verbal 15-yard penalty on Chris Jones that came into a big play for our offense. What goes on out there? What can you say? What can you not say? It's the first time I've seen this penalty. It's like just a verbal flagrant foul. So, you get emotional out there. It's a bar fight every play out there.
It's true. You know, I mean, he must have said something explicit, something that
especially in that moment, right, in that situation.
But you know, it's all part of football. Chris Jones, that's my guy. You know, we've known each other since coming out of college.
Yeah,
we train with each other and stuff like that. So, you know, emotions, they brew in the game. It's all part of the game, and it's all part of the fun.
When did those? I'm sorry, Matt, but I just want to find out. You're waking up last week. You played your first game at Lucas Oil Stadium. How early do you get up on game day when you know you're spending the night in that hotel the night before, going to meetings till it's late, and then shutting it down? What time do you get up and rolling to get that fire burning?
That's a great question. I'm an early riser, so I would get up roughly around like 7:15 in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, 7:15.
Game day,
7:15 in the morning. You know, do my prayer. Pray to God, and then also I'll just go downstairs and, you know, get some food, and then, you know, make my way.
I want to go back to the Chris Jones conversation. Yeah. I mean, I know that happened to your opponent, and you did benefit from that, but do you use that a little bit of as a teaching tool or a teaching moment? Kind of have to file that away, knowing that, hey, if I make a big play, you have to celebrate the right way. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just not speaking on his situation, but, you know, just being a coach and the standard that we have here is all about having, you know, humility, all about having class, and we're paid to make plays, so we're expected to do that. So, you know, me personally, I don't feel like there's no point in showboating or, you know, any kind of verbal stuff like that. So, you know, just play the game within the game.
Hey, there it is right there. Yannick Ngakoue with the Gorman and with Matt Taylor. Hey, more to come coming up, including the Farm Credit Union question of the day answer. And then we'll get you to high school football coming up at the top of the hour. Have you heard? Brendan King, Kevin Bowen, the call. Week 7 of the high school football season brought to you by CarX. Joe Childers run CarX locations at CarX.com today. Brownsburg and Zionsville, top of the hour. More of Colts Happy Hour right here on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Don't leave.
Welcome back to the Colts Happy Hour. We're getting you in the know on the Colts heading into the weekend.
We saw courtesy of the Nylon Curtain album, 1980s Billy Joel right there. Colts Happy Hour brought to you by Meijer, the official supercenter of the Colts, proud sponsor of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. All right, Gorman, Lara Overton with Rodney Thomas from that secondary coming up in just a second. Your Farm Credit Union question of the week. Since 2018, the Colts defense has allowed 100-yard rusher just 6 times. That's second fewest over that time frame. Who is the only team of which has held 100 yards rushers, at least game by game, fewer? That's New Orleans with 4 is the answer. New Orleans with 4. Meantime, hey, he played a significant role, did he not, in that secondary on Sunday? The Gorman, Lara Overton, with a visit with Rodney Thomas.
Joined now by Rodney Thomas, 7th rounder out of Yale this time last year. All right, follow me now. This time last year, who are you getting ready for?
Let me think. Yeah, they're actually playing right now. They just had their – so they're going into week 3 right now. Who do we play week 3? It might have been Lehigh.
Okay, so you're playing Lehigh a year ago at this time.
Lehigh.
Follow me.
Just, I know it was week three.
Just follow me. Yeah. Now, week three of this year, you're defending Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. That jump to go from the Ivy League to defending one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And, by the way, doing it pretty well.
Yeah, it was just real fun just to be out there on the field, just flying around, just making plays for the team. It was a real nice team effort that day. It was real nice.
I talked earlier this week with Roddy McLeod, and he was talking about how much communication was going on the back end because of the type of offense that you were facing. How much has that communication been building, not just between the Rodney tandem back there on the back end, but across this whole secondary that created the opportunity you had on Sunday?
Yeah, for sure. We're always communicating because you can never communicate too much because we always need to make sure a bunch of the pieces to the defense. We just all need to make sure that we're all on the same page. We're all playing the same coverage. So you can never have too much communication. So we always just talk as much as we can on the field. Just make sure everybody's aligned so we can all play fast at the end of the day.
I'll tell you what, you got thrown into the fire and responded during this whole process, starting at training camp, even off season and stuff. Was it ever overwhelming to you? And what was it that you had to overcome?
It was never overwhelming because we have a real good room. Everybody helps each other out. It's a real good veterans to look up to, and everybody has like their own like thing, like their own routine before practices, before games. So just picking up on different things that different guys do, it just helps out like the young guys a lot. So that we're able to just come in and just get the ball rolling right away.
The one thing Larry and I were talking about is your flexibility. You can play safety or corner in this defense.
Just want to make sure that I can play. Just as many positions as possible, just know as much as I can know, just so if anybody needs some help anywhere, the coaches feel comfortable just putting me in.
Gorman, you're asking about a guy getting overwhelmed. Come on, the guy went to Yale. Don't forget
true.
That, right?
That's
nothing's going to be too much for him. Well, one of the things also noted in the conversation I had with Roddy McLeod was he said what sets you apart and what created the opportunity for you to play at such a high level that you did on Sunday and you'll continue to do is the amount of preparation that you've continued to put in. What are the things that you've tried to do additionally, just aside from practice and meeting rooms? What are the other things that you've absorbed from the veteran guys you've been surrounded by to pave the path?
Definitely just a bunch of things in the film room. So just a bunch of like separate like film time. Like we always have like the film time together naturally on the team, but just a bunch of like tape study on your own. Just talking to different guys, different people on the team, just different things that you can pick up on, different keys and different things like that. Just because like just talking from is like if you talk to as many people as you possibly can, you get as much input that you possibly can. So you can just keep like picking and then just develop like my own routine and develop my own game plan. So just it was basically just more of that, just looking at a bunch of things on film, just trying to get up and just get a jump on as much as I could.
Rodney Thomas with Lara and the Gorman right there, part of Colts Happy Hour. Hey, great to see you, brother. Thank you guys for coming out, too. Kilroy's downtown with Zinc and Bud Light. We'll take a break, come back, get you set for high school football coming up at the top of the hour right here, 93.5/107.5 The Fan.
Come into Bell Tire today. You'll get the lowest tire price, period. Like up to $150 off select sets of four Goodyear tires. You'll also get a guy who will give you free lifetime flat repairs, tire rotations, and alignment checks. Get up to $150 off select sets of four Goodyear tires. Plus more free services and more out of your tires and more for your money. It's how we make the lowest tire price feel even lower. At Bell Tire. See store and belltire.com for details and offer expiration.
Take the field with a no-sweat first bet on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. New customers get up to $1,000 back in free bets if your first bet doesn't win. Play your way with everything from money line to point spreads to player props. Make every moment more with FanDuel, proud sportsbook partner of the Indianapolis Colts. 21 plus and present in Indiana. First online real money wager only refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Colts Nation, are you ready for a fantastic time? Add to your fall traditions and celebrate with your crew at the For the Boot Colts Halloween Party on Wednesday, October 19th. All Colts kids and their families are invited to Lucas Oil Stadium for trick-or-treating, pumpkin decorating, on-field activities, and a whole lot more. Colts cheerleaders will be signing autographs, and the NFL's best mascot, Blue, will be there. The event will run from 5 to 8 p.m. and is free for the public to attend. Visit Colts.com/events for more information.
I've always dreamed of owning a home. Love having a place I can call my own.
We've wanted to remodel this kitchen since we moved in, already dreaming of the memories we'll make here.
Finally, a secluded house along the lake. We put years of hard work into this dream, and now it's a reality.
Forum Credit Union helps you save, share, and grow for the moments you dream about. Learn about becoming a member and our services at forumcu.com.
Federally insured by NCUA. Equal Opportunity Lender.
What is PODS? Well, it's a smarter way to move and store your items. PODS will deliver a container to you. Simply fill it up and take all the time you need. Call PODS and they'll pick up your pod and drive it anywhere you want it to go. You can have it delivered across country, across town, or to our secure storage center. PODS, the best moving and storage idea ever. We make it easy to order your pod today. Just call 1-800-776-PODS, 1-800-776-PODS, or click pods.com.
We now return to the Colts Happy Hour, an inside look at the Colts on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back. Kilroy's downtown has been absolutely fantastic. So if you're listening right now and you come downtown to Kilroy's, I want you to ask for Courtney behind the bar. Courtney will take care of you. It's a great group here. It really is. And honestly, we could not do this every single week without Zinc Distributing and Bud Light. Thank you guys so much for another fantastic Bud Light Blue Friday. Again, coming up on Sunday morning, 9 a.m., that's the ride to kick off. I think Bowen's going to join me, as he normally does as well. 9 until 10 a.m. for the Bullseye Event Center, bullseyeeventgroup.com, for the best pregame party anywhere. All you can eat, all you can drink, DJ Skids, DJ Helicon, for the entertainment inside the Bullseye Event Center. And then 10 until noon, I'll be up at Touchdown Town with Bud Light, the Gourmand, Bill Brooks, Joe Wrights, and me in what should be a very entertaining Colts pregame huddle. Tomorrow, JMV Takeover. I got you covered on B105.7. That is from 6 until midnight. A Coolio tribute and a lot of hairband action coming up tomorrow night on B105.7. Cam, thank you very much. Thank you to Kyle back of the studio, Dre and Olivia as well for being a huge part of this show. Up next, high school football game of the week brought to you by CarX. Zionsville hosts Brownsburg. Brendan King and Kevin Bowen coming at you next.